Welcome to the Word of Mom Media Network and Word of Mom Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here with fabulous shows that are just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and women working from home are just dabbling in business. We're making a difference in our own way, and I'm very excited to be welcoming you to part two of the conversation with Dr. Donna Marks. We're talking about her book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. And just a little background, if you missed the first interview, Dr. Marks is a psychoanalyst, a licensed addictions counselor, an author, consultant, public speaker, and instructor of A Course in Miracles in Palm Beach, Florida. By healing her childhood trauma, she grew from an 18-year-old single mom and high school dropout to a person who overcame multiple addictions, poverty, and plenty of disasters during her life. For over 30 years, she's helped thousands of people break patterns by reclaiming their minds and learning how to choose love over fear. Her book, Learn, Grow, Forgive, offers a three-step process that helps people get out of the maze and stay out. By facing the past, releasing old pain, and forgiving yourself, you will find the love you've always wanted. And one of the things that she says here, and I really like it, is it shows you how to change an insane mindset of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results to a new sanity of doing the same things over and over again and getting different results. Because it is possible. And so I encourage you, if you missed the first interview, go back and enjoy it in archive. And here we are in part two. So welcome back, Dr. Donna.
Thank you, Dori. I'm happy to be back.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just glad you highlighted that point about, you know, getting different results because, again, shame keeps people stuck. And often when people are, you know, trying to address a pattern and they keep repeating the pattern, even though they're getting help with the pattern, they become so shame-based that they give up. And I want people to understand, I don't care how many times you've relapsed on whatever it is you're trying to stop, it doesn't matter because if you take the approach that I'm outlining here in the book, you will get a different result each time because you will be learning and growing through each of those experiences. And the learning and growing is going to happen because you will learn how to love yourself as you go along and forgive yourself. So the second part is really important because it's about feeling.
You know, before we delve back into the book a little bit, you constantly, throughout the book, you reference A Course in Miracles.
Yes.
And for those people that don't know what that is, can you just give us a little bit of info on it?
Yes, absolutely. There was a psychiatrist at Columbia University who confided in an associate that she felt that everything was so competitive, and after all, we are in the psychology department, and people aren't getting along. There's got to be a better way of doing things. And shortly after she said that to her colleague, her name was Dr. Helen Schuckman, she started having very profound spiritual dreams, and then she started hearing a voice telling her to take notes. And she thought maybe she was losing her mind, so she confided with her colleague. And he said, listen, I've known you for a long time. You're obviously not crazy. Take notes. Out of those notes came The Course in Miracles. It's called A Course in Miracles. And there's a textbook where you can read about how to change your thinking from self-destructive into more spiritual. It acknowledges that we are human beings. We have an ego, and that ego is based in fear. Anger and guilt are the emotions that cover up the fear, and we stay stuck because we stay trapped in those emotions. But the Course teaches us that in reality, we have a Holy Spirit, All of us have it, whether we like it or not. We can ignore it. We can say we don't believe. It doesn't matter. That doesn't change the fact. You can say you don't think you have a heart or a liver, but it's still there. And you can treat your body one way or another, and you'll get the results one way or another. But the Course teaches us we have a Holy Spirit, and that is the place in us that is love. And it is eternal, and it is forever, and it is connected to the divine source. So the Course teaches us how to literally treat our mind like a muscle and learn how to choose from love rather than fear. And once we do that, we do get our mind back, and we are able to grow and change through all of our mistakes. The Course teaches us there isn't sin. We're not sinners. We simply make mistakes, and all we need to do is correct them for our own benefit. So this is a very profound course. I've been teaching it for 30 years. I've had a lot of students, and I've seen the miracles that have happened. A Course in Miracles says a miracle is a change in perception. So rather than seeing something, oh, God, I can't believe this is happening to me, I can begin to say, I can believe this is happening to me, and a lot of good will come out of it if I approach this from a learning perspective and a growing perspective.
And that brings us to grow.
Yes.
I didn't ask you in the first part of our conversation, what prompted you to actually write Learn, Grow, Forgive?
Because I have been working with so many people, and myself included, where I would just see people get so stuck. I've actually even treated a lot of therapists who have also, you know, the world is full of unhealed healers. I was one of them. So I wanted to write this because this is all the knowledge that I've acquired throughout my life, and I know what works and what doesn't work. And so I wanted to write the book so that everyone has the opportunity to heal and to have the kind of life that they want. I was a depressed, unhappy, struggling person who was, you know, at times it just gave up and said, forget it, it's not worth it. But it is worth it. You're worth it. We're all worth it. So it's just a matter of being able to have the tools to have the breakthrough and never, ever give up. Once that breakthrough occurs, then, like you and I were talking about before our first show, we wake up happy in the morning and grateful. That doesn't mean that we are constantly 100% happy and grateful, but we can get back there pretty quickly by using the tools that I've outlined in this book.
I'm that happy morning person, you know, and believe me, my children's father, when we got divorced, we sat down with a mediator. We never went to court. And the guy asked him what was wrong. And he said, there has to be something fundamentally wrong if somebody's always in a good mood, you know, because I just, even if I get upset about something, I'm going to let you know exactly what was on my mind.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to go bake some bread or, you know,
yeah.
I don't like to, you know, dwell on things. You know, I, my son and I, my oldest son, who's, you know, now a father of my first grandchild, is now looking at the parenting that he got and was like, you know, Mom, this aggravated me, that aggravated me. But now looking back on it, it's like, oh, Mom, really, that was awesome. You know?
Yeah.
So, and I said to him once, way back when, I said, I know that you're angry with me. And I know you think I should just say yes to everything that you want. But the thing is, someday, something's going to happen, and these words of mine are going to play in your head, and you're going to understand why I actually have to set those boundaries right now. So for that time then, I'm saying these words now.
Yeah.
You know? And he called me once, and he was like, Mom, remember when you said that to me? I was like, yeah. He said, I just got it. He was like 26. I was like, see, and there you go. But, it, let's face it, kids don't come with a rule book.
Right.
You know, other than don't forget to feed the baby.
There's no rule book for marriage or having children. And so we are on a learning curve. And you said something really important. You know, boundaries are so important because if we don't learn them when we're young, we're going to have a whole lot of pain throughout our lives. When we cross them and the real world lights a match to us when we cross them, whatever form that takes. So it is very important to have boundaries. What I approach it, and I believe me, as a mother of three, I made so many mistakes, and we do learn from those mistakes, but to inspire children to make the best choices, to help them to use their minds to think through certain scenarios. As single parent, as single moms, this is very difficult to do because we're not of the mindset. We want to say, here's the rule, follow it, and, you know, I have to be the strong one here and make you do that. But it doesn't take that much longer to really explain to a child why that boundary is there. And if we do that from the place of love rather than fear, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to get into trouble, rather than if you do make the right choice, how do you think you're going to feel about yourself? How do you think Johnny's going to feel about you? How do you think your relationship with Johnny's going to work? Do you think you're going to be happier in school? And why did they have rules in school? And really get that kid thinking about why those boundaries are in place. Then they internalize them when they're young. They don't just follow them and then go out and rebel against them when they're teenagers. They actually have an internal self-working mechanism that aligns with their own little spirit that makes sense to them.
See, the things that make you go,
Yeah.
You know? They are. Because, you know, it's funny because I kind of feel we are in a double-edged sword right now. You and I grew up in a time when our parents said, because I said so, that's why.
Right. Some parents, the hippie generation, didn't say, do whatever you want. That's cool.
Let me participate
with you, you know?
Isn't it interesting how that authoritative parent, that parent that, you know, do it my way and that's it and blah, 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 and that parent that just was like, do whatever you want, that authoritative parent and that permissive parent both wound up with that really insecure kid.
Yeah.
that because the decisions were made for them completely, so they never had a chance to make their own. The other because every decision was open to them. Mm-hmm. And then you have the, you know, authoritative parent that, these are the rules. You know, my child psychology teacher, the best parenting advice I ever got. It's a parent's job to negotiate set the boundaries. It's a child's job to negotiate the boundaries. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this is not a democracy. It is a dictatorship. You are the king, and it doesn't matter. They don't like it. They can move out. It doesn't matter that they're seven. And it was so true because it is. It is that negotiation back and forth. As your kids get older, the rules have to grow.
Yeah.
You know, everything can't be set in stone. The same rule that my 16-year-old had, I couldn't apply to my 12-year-old.
Right.
And stuff. So, you know, it was age-appropriate and everything else. But, you know, it's a balancing act. And, you know, you were a single mom, too. I was a single mom since my kids were 6, 4, and 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, now they're children's dad, great dad. You know, we are celebrating our grandson together. We are very successfully divorced. We didn't work married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, we got very lucky.
Yeah.
And our kids got really lucky because, sadly, they become that pawn in the chess game of your life when your marriage is breaking up and all of that does. And I'm sure in the learn and the grow part, you know, it's identifying all of that. You know,
the hard part is having the courage to feel your feelings. And this gets harder as time goes on because we say, well, I already thought about that and I already cried about that and I don't want to do this again. I'm self-indulging. And there's a difference between someone who's addicted to pain and who's self-indulgent and the more healthy thing where, you know, okay, I like to compare it to a traffic accident. If you've been in a traffic accident, little pieces of glass, you know, big pieces of glass, little pieces of glass get stuck in your body. Sometimes, 10 years later, someone will feel a little bump under the surface of their skin and a little piece of glass will come out from that traffic accident 10 years earlier. Emotional healing is the same thing. There's nothing wrong with something coming to your mind that's making you sad from 20, 30 years ago. It's just another bubble coming up to heal, just another piece of glass or shrapnel that's been stuck in the unconscious. It's coming up to heal. And so in the grow part, we have to have the courage to feel if we want to be okay with ourselves because there's always going to be parts of us that are healing. And we're going to be sad and we're going to have mourning and grieving and we want to be able to embrace those things. Otherwise, they do hang with us. They don't go away. And this is where I really incorporate A Course in Miracles into this section, because it says we have two emotions, love or fear. And if we say, I'm going to love myself and I'm going to allow myself to be human and to experience all my emotions, some people get really tripped up on this, especially when they get spiritual. They think, if I'm just grateful or if I'm just forgiving, then all of this will be fine. But there is a human being inside of the spirit that needs to heal our trauma and pain. So we have to give permission out of love to acknowledge that when we have had trauma, we will need to heal. And it's not a one-step process. It's a lifetime process. But rather than...
On that note, let's stop here. Let's say thank you to our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and let's talk about, let's really get into depth with that. So we will be right back. Let's just say thank you to our sponsors here on Word of Mom Radio. This is Dori DiCarlo. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Donna Mark. As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans, take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from stadiumbags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium size backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready to go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at stadiumbags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
We are back here on Word of Mom Radio with Dr. Donna Marks. We're talking about her book, Learn, Grow, Forgive. And let's talk about what it means to get your mind back by choosing love over fear.
So we've been talking about, there's two parts to us, the spiritual part and the human part. And in that spiritual part is love, and the human part is the ego. And the ego uses guilt and anger. It'll dwell on all the things I've done wrong, or I'll project my own wrongdoing onto somebody else and attack them. So those feelings are really, you know, guilt never stopped anybody from doing something. That I can be drinking and feel guilty every time I have a hangover. I can be unfaithful and feel guilty as anything. I can keep eating sugar and guilt doesn't stop me. I just eat more sugar. So these are cover-ups. Same thing with anger. As long as I'm angry, then I don't have to deal. If I feel guilt or anger, I don't have to deal with what I'm really afraid of. What I'm really afraid of is I'm not okay, I'm not lovable, and nobody's going to love me, and nobody else out there is lovable either. Some of the things I put in the book are some charts to kind of simplify this. It's similar to the old transactional analysis model. I'm not okay and neither are you. I'm not lovable and neither are you. Once we get to the core issue here, the fear that I'm not lovable, then I can begin to say, why do I feel that way? And that's why we have that first section on understanding what went wrong. But in the grow part, we learn how to honor our emotions, honor our feelings, not to stay stuck in them, not to project them onto anybody else, but to just claim, this is what I'm feeling, and what's the fear underneath this? That's for the anger and guilt. Then the other part is legitimately mourning our sorrow and our sadness of what didn't happen, what could have been, what hasn't happened, and all the other things of being human, all the other life's disappointments, the betrayals. You know, sometimes we just stuff those, and they get stored, and I talk in the book about it's like carrying around a 10-pound bag, a 20-pound bag, a 30-pound bag of potatoes, you know. They go with you wherever you go, and you can't, it's a burden. You're not free to be loving and to be loved, and then we're wondering why we don't have it in our lives. So this is what the growth section is really about, you know, having the courage to feel and then to really understand those feelings that are underneath the fear.
Well, I asked you the first time with learn, if you are finding different patterns, are you finding them in grow as well? The different, you know, things that are coming up?
Yes. A lot of people will be angry their whole lives. They don't even realize they are. Other people are afraid of them because they're very intense or they are reactive. Now, the Course in Miracles says every attack is a cry for love. So when we can see someone who's angry is really someone who's fearful and feels unlovable, that changes the whole conversation with that person. So that can be a pattern. There can also be a pattern of, I don't really want to keep doing this work. I don't really think that, you know, there's something wrong with me if I have to keep going over this issue again and again. Well, if someone, you know, there's a difference between someone being addicted to their pain, and by the way, pain is a very addictive process, because sometimes people feel so empty inside, at least when they're in pain, then they feel like they're alive. So there's a difference between that, though, and someone who just doesn't feel like it's okay to do the healing work that they need to do. And that's where we have to have the courage to feel. That's how we break out of that pattern. There are other, Freud called people who are just living on guilt, he called them neurotic. You know, I don't want to go to the doctor because I might find out I'm sick, or I don't want to get a divorce because I might find out da-da-da, you know, or I don't want to go to school because I might not succeed. You know, all of these round and round and round in circles types of guilt. But it really, what the Course teaches us, the real problem there is just fear. So we learn to just walk right through it, and we love. I'm going to love myself instead of being governed by fear anymore. I'm going to take the risk and choose love.
Isn't it amazing how difficult it can be to love yourself?
Yes, because that's from years of programming inside and outside of ourselves.
It made me think of a friend of mine. She was on Facebook, and you know, she had just lost one of her pets, and just feeling really awful and doing something. And she's like, I don't know, it feels so selfish. And I was like, this is not selfish. This is self-love.
Yeah.
It is actually okay to say, I am really sad. I mean, you know, this was your pet for the last 15 years and a constant companion of unconditional love. And you are not being selfish by needing to just unplug and actually mourn the loss of this pet that loved you so much and that you loved so much.
Yes, and if she doesn't do that, she will not heal.
But it's amazing to me how people feel like doing things like that. Oh, I'm just being self-centered. When did loving yourself become a bad thing? You know, I live alone. I buy flowers for myself twice a month because they usually last 2 weeks. You know what? I like fresh flowers. And if I don't buy them for myself, I won't have them. And so I can either go, I really wish I had someone in my life who'd buy me flowers. I do have somebody in my life who buys me flowers. I do.
One of my,
you know,
on my social media is the most important person that will ever love you is yourself.
Is that a big lesson in the grow part of your book?
We have to give ourselves what we're looking for, and we have to share with others what we're looking for, and then we'll have it.
Oh, you know, which to me just makes the most sense. I mean, if you don't show people how to be good to you, you can't take for granted that somebody's going to know. You know, I've never understood that's like the whole thing with, you know, your signals and the signals in a relationship and stuff. And, oh, well, how come you couldn't understand? I wasn't talkative and this and that. As opposed to just saying to somebody, this is what's bothering me. You did this. I didn't like the way you said that, or this is how that made me feel. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely not. And people don't want to have those conversations. Number one, they don't know how to have those conversations. Number two, they're afraid to have those conversations because they're afraid they're going to lead to abandonment. And sometimes they do because people have signed up for a relationship that they thought the terms were understood and they weren't. But regardless of what happens in a relationship, you to thine own self be true. You have to be willing to take the risk that to be honest and authentic with the person that you love. Otherwise, you have the relationships become more and more stagnant, and that's when they become less and less satisfactory and they're going to deteriorate. So if people can really honor each other with that kind of authentic honesty from the beginning and do exactly what you want. However, we can say, you know, I really love you. I just don't like the way you're approaching this particular situation. That's a different conversation than, I don't like this about you. Why do you always do this? Or I can't stand that about you. Saying I love you very much is just this kind of behavior really bugs me, and this is why. It could be about my past, that it's bringing up something about my past, or it might just be that in the here and now, I prefer to do things differently. But not to make
it's funny, we were talking before we started taping, and I was saying about blame. I learned one time, a long time ago, from someone that if you blame someone, it immediately causes that conflict and that fight, as opposed to taking blame. Whenever uh-huh. when you take blame, people always want to take it back.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had a client one time, and I knew they were doing something wrong. And instead of putting my foot down and everything else, you know, the client's always right, and blah, blah, blah. And I made them sign off in four different places because I knew once they got what they wanted, they were going to have a fit when they saw it. And when this woman called me screaming, and I knew it was going to happen, and I was like, you know what, this is absolutely my fault, blah, 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 and she was like, I'm the one who picked this and that, and blah, and I was like, yeah, but you know what, I knew what you needed, and I should never have allowed it, and it was because my boss had made me bring this to them, and I was like, she's going to pick this because it's the cheapest thing. I said, but once she sees it, she's going to hate it because of who she is and what company, which I can't say, she represents. They're a multi-billion-dollar company. She can't hand them something like this. But, of course, she's going to look at the cost factor. And, you know, I did it with plenty of time for her to be able to fix it and this and that and la-da-da-da-da. But had I said, hey, this isn't my fault, you're the one who picked this, da-da-da-da-da, what would have happened? I'd have lost the client. It would have absolutely, she would have just, it was her fault and everything else, as opposed to taking the blame from her.
Mm-hmm.
She took it right back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't threaten her. I didn't make her feel like she's the one who messed up.
Right.
You know? And,
right.
You know, and again, somebody said that to me once at a training, that when you take blame back, people will always try to take it from you.
Right.
It's you know, and that's one of the things that I was reading in the grow part. I love how it was, you know, we can react like this or perhaps reacting like this.
Right.
You know, instead of saying, don't do this, do it this way, it was kind of in that choice.
And when relationships falter or there's disappointment or there's conflict, what can we do with this together? How can we overcome this together? It's not like you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. what can we, how can we grow through this experience, even, especially the real disappointing ones, rather than casting blame and what the Course in Miracles says, that the thing that we do the most wrong is when we separate, when we pull back from love. That's when we need to pull in deeper into love. Let's get through this together. Of course, it takes two people to be willing to do that. But most people are willing when they're not being blamed.
And on that note, this concludes part two of this three-part conversation. And I hope that you will join us next week for part three as we talk about the forgive part of Learn, Grow, Forgive. I please encourage you to reach out to Dr. Donna Marks. You can find her at drdonnamarks.com and on Facebook, and it's DrDonnaMarks. You can find her on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on YouTube. Please reach out. Go to drdonnamarks.com, get a copy of this book, and take this journey. Go back, listen to the other archives, because it really is a very, in a non-threatening way, can go back. It gives you the opportunity to go back and look at things in your life. So, again, I hope you'll join us next week. I want to say thank you again for being here with us, Dr. Donna. I really am enjoying this conversation.
Yes, me too.
And we will be closing out today with our fabulous theme song, She Is You, from Smith Sisters Bluegrass, thanks to our sponsors. And most importantly, thank you for tuning in. So this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now. She is sure. She is